You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're going to be taking a look a little bit later on at two racing at Stratford and Taunton. There's also action on Monday at Plympton and Kempton, the final day before the Cheltenham Festival. Of course, you can hear all the racing live here on William Hill's Racing Radio. Make sure you join us 10 minutes before the first race for all of the action throughout the course of the day. So we'll be on air at 2 p.m. Sam Norris here, and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Will Haler. Will, how are you, sir?
Hello, Sam. Yeah, I'm very well indeed, thank you.
Good stuff. Looking forward to Cheltenham?
I am, very much so, yeah. It's one of my absolute favourite things of the whole year, along with Christmas and, Christmas and Cheltenham. Yeah, it's the number one racing event. Mm. If you're a punter like me, then it's just a fantastic orgy of betting and booze and...
Yes.
Racing winners, hopefully.
Indeed. I asked you if you were looking forward to it, although I suppose if you answered no, then you'd probably be in the wrong game, really.
Maybe. I mean, I think, in general, as a punter, it's always a good maxim to go against the flow, isn't it? And to try and find your own way to do things.
Yep.
And certainly, I remember at Cheltenham about 15, 16 years ago, Richard Fahey landed an enormous gamble at Southall one day with a horse called Potemps something or other, Mr. Potemps, I think it was. And it was so like 6-1 to 5-4. And I thought that, you know, if ever you were going to land one,
yes,
it's while all eyes are on Cheltenham, isn't
yep.
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, there is something to be said for taking the perverse view that while everyone else is looking at Cheltenham, you should be doing Fakenham and Sedgefield
yep.
with a fine tooth comb. But unfortunately, because I love quality horse racing and I love quality jumps racing, it's all about jumps.
Indeed. Let's recap some of the weekend's action as well. Starting on Sandown, we're going to get to the Imperial Cup in just a moment, but sadly the headlines that came out of Sandown on Saturday were more of the negative variety after the slightly farcical incident in the 150 race, where of course there was some confusion with the two winning posts at Sandown. And the photo finish was called on the wrong winning post, which is for the chase course. It was a hurdles race, which was eventually won by Third Wind. But One for Rosie was announced as the winner and was the winner in effect for about 10 minutes before the result was reversed. Obviously, bookmakers, probably the most affected by this, Plenty would have had to pay out twice. And it obviously garnered some rather negative publicity for the track. We were just mentioning before hitting the record button on the podcast that the reaction was maybe a little bit over the top. I can see why people are annoyed at the, as I say, slightly farcical nature of it.
Yeah, look, whenever money is involved, emotions run high,
yep.
right? That's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is I have, in my life, made several mistakes of varying degrees of seriousness, and I suspect most people in their lives have got things wrong. And yesterday, at least one person, possibly two people, and arguably three or more people, made a serious error of
yes.
judgment in not picking up on what should have been a fairly obvious error quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But although there's a financial cost to a number of people and a great deal of frustration to punters who thought they'd backed the winner and haven't, ultimately, you cannot prevent mistakes from happening. It's now not a question of pointing the finger. I don't really care whose fault it was. Somebody, you know, someone who's paid probably less than they should be, made an error of judgment, and hey ho. It's just making sure it doesn't happen again. It's not ideal. In fact, I would agree and say it is embarrassing for the BHA so soon after they've tightened up the photo finish procedures.
Yes.
But fundamentally, you know, nobody died, and I'm sure that whatever they do from this point, whether they make it only winning one winning post from now onwards, or whether they introduce more fail-safes to the photo finish procedure, hopefully we can make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yes, hopefully so. I gather the fact they have two winning posts is due to the angle of the chase course. Something like that. But yeah, that was my original thought. Surely one winning post would eliminate this.
I mean, I have a perspective on this, which is that the argument against having just the one winning post is that it creates a situation whereby if you get the rail, you're running quite a considerably shorter distance than horses on the outside because of the angle of the final fence and the angle of the winning line. However, my counter-argument to that is, isn't that exactly what happens at Chester?
Yeah,
every time there's a rain, you cannot possibly tell me that the winning line at Chester is at 90 degrees to the home straight, because the home straight's on a bend. It's not a straight. So that argument doesn't have a great deal of weight for me. I think they should have one winning post. I think we should accept that runners will now be trying to get across to the rail, possibly, if that's a shorter distance. But it happens at other tracks. They try and get across to the rail at Cheltenham on the near side because they perceive an advantage to doing
so. Yeah.
It's not a big thing. I would rather have that than have two winning posts.
Okay. A couple of good horses that fought out the finish, though, in the shape of Third Wind and One for Rosie. Fancy we'll be hearing a little bit more from both of those. The big race today, of course, at Sandown was the Imperial Cup, won by Malaya for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. Paul Nicholls obviously got his string in excellent nick at the moment, building up to Cheltenham. It was his first win in the Imperial Cup, which was something of a surprise to me, and he very much beat the right horses with Monsieur Lecoq and Call Me Lord finishing second and third. And Malaya's a horse that's really taking its form to new heights with that win on Saturday.
You're right. I thought the performance of that race that struck me the most was Harry Cobden's aboard the winner. He was going to win very nicely on the bridle right up to the point where she didn't lift her legs up over the second last. She lost quite a lot of momentum. He didn't panic. He just gathered her back in together again and slowly wound her back up. I think a lot of jockeys in that situation would have pulled the stick out straight away and gone rat-a-tat-tat, I'm going to wake you up. That wasn't the answer to Malaya. She just needed to get a lungful of air, get that sort of momentum going again. She met the last well. She got moving forward and she picked up to win going away. It was a really cool and accomplished ride from a jockey who, lest we forget, is still very young and very inexperienced.
Yeah, indeed. And as I say, the Paul Nicholls yard, they couldn't be in better nick really at the moment.
No, they're flying. He should have a winner at the first race at Stratford tomorrow, a very short priced horse in the novice hurdle. He may well have more than one winner tomorrow. He's going into the festival with his team in really, really good form.
Yes, indeed. Hopefully we can pick out a winner or two on the programme on Monday to try and top up the funds ahead of the festival. We've got a couple of races picked out to discuss, starting at Stratford with the 3:40 race. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And what were your thoughts on this one, please?
I shall be at Stratford, which is a card I do try and attend on the way down to Cheltenham. It's a real tricky card for finding winners. I seem to have done my brains there most of the years that I've attended. I like Dino Velvet in the 3:40 race at Stratford. That's the 2 mile handicap hurdle. It used to be quite a smart horse, this Dino Velvet. A couple of years ago, you might remember, ran quite a nice race in the Fred Winter, then disappeared off into the wilderness for a bit, but bounced back to win quite takingly at Market Raisin last time. I think he's a horse who wants a flat track and a bit of give in the ground, and that's exactly what he's going to get at Stratford tomorrow. The ground is officially good to soft. There's a little bit of rain forecast, not a lot, and I think he's only gone up £7 for winning last time. Eskandash, who finished second to him last time, reopposes on slightly better terms, but I think Dino Velvet might just be the sort of horse who's had his confidence restored by that latest victory. Alan King's yard in good form, and he also won this race last year with Midnight Maestro, so plenty of ticks in his boxes. I think Dino Velvet will run well at Stratford.
Okay, Dino Velvet is selection then in that 3:40 race at Stratford. Then just 20 minutes later, we're going to Taunton for the 4 o'clock. This is a handicap chase over 3.5 miles. and give us a selection here, please.
Yes, this is a good race, and it's interesting. Some of these horses could potentially have gone to Cheltenham. It's a 0-140 race, so if the connections had so chosen, the likes of Rolling Dillon would have gone in the Kim Muir, but they've decided to go for this race, which is good, because you don't want it to be all about the festival, do you? We need some other good races.
Yep.
Union East is my selection here. He's a bit of an old favourite, and I must confess, there's an element of sentiment in this selection. He's back in Handicap Company, having been running in Hunter Chases for the last couple of years. They've given him a mark of 1-3-1 for this return to Handicap Company. When he last had a spin in handicaps, it was at the Cheltenham Festival 2 years ago in the Kim Muir, where he was far, far from disgraced, and that was off 1-4-1. So he's £10 lower for his stint in Hunter Chases. He is now 11, and there is a chance that he's not quite the force he was, but he's moving up in trip here to 3.5 miles. I think that will suit him. There is giving the ground at Taunton. I think that will suit him. And of course, he's trained by Paul Nicholls, which is another major plus. So with David Maxwell, his owner and jockey, I have to say, I think he's riding much, much better than he was a couple of years ago. I mean, he really was pretty hopeless a couple of years ago. Yeah. Now I would say he was competent.
Yes.
You know, he's a much improved rider, a fantastic enthusiast for the game. You only have to listen to him talk and you want him to do well. He loves racing, loves Cheltenham. You know, he's putting so much of his own money into the sport in buying these good horses and riding them himself. You know, so I'm big fan of Union East, big fan of David Maxwell, big fan of trying to get some money in the bank for Cheltenham 24 hours beforehand. And he is my selection in the 4 o'clock at Taunton.
Good stuff. Union East then for Paul Nicholls and David Maxwell in that 4 o'clock race at Taunton, the second of Will's two selections. Don't forget Racing Radio Live. It's 2 p.m. On Monday. But Will, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as always. Enjoy the festival and best of luck.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.